Let me just get started. So, because this is, most of this is, let me explain what I've done. I've posted, say, the progress report from November 2010 again. Since that time, it's been stable. And I've included some new observations which we need to revisit. So I just want to run through quickly what we've done until now, and then stop where I've included some additional questions language, and that's for further discussion between now and probably the next face-to-face meeting.
That's fine, but there's not a huge amount of point in having a discussion about it on this call.
No, I just want to flag it.
No, I understand that, but and that's fine. But if we're dealing with YARP as an observer and AVRI as an observer, and we don't have any CCs on the call, then there's not no offence to YARP or AVRI, but there's not a lot to be gained by spending a huge amount of time running through.
Oh, I know. You can do it very quickly. And Manal,
sure, I've got
before as well. I see she's on the in the room.
Who?
Manal.
Mm. Okay.
So, let me just get started, and I'll stop where necessary.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is, again, a recapping of what we've done, progress today. That I'll update this as well as we go on. Overarching principles.
Hang on, which document are you looking at, the overall overview or the selection criteria?
Selection criteria.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
Say, the overarching principles, I don't, if it's, if there were good principles, they still should remain the same, and I checked, and all of them seem to be still valid. So, so no changes there. Scroll down. Agreed criteria. So there is no changes in this bit. Meaningful representation is still the same. Meaningful representation of the name must be in a designated language of the territory. Based on the discussions in, say, the study group on the use of country names, it appears that the term designated language is appropriate, not using official languages. So we had an extensive discussion on this one already in the working group, and it's been validated again in the study group, so no changes there. Short name, that's all similar. One string per designated language, that is probably still a very valid criteria. And note the that the variant discussion is still not concluded, so as we agreed, we push ahead. Must be meet abide to all technical criteria, and probably that's a separate discussion with the technical people on the working group, whether these technical criteria are still valid, because there is a reference to a ROC, but that was at the draft stage at the time. So that's a separate discussion. Now we get into the changes and issues of the date, and that's to do with the confusingly similarity.
So that's decision I.
Sorry?
Decision H and decision I.
Yes.
Okay.
H is still the confusingly similarity with any combination of two letter ASCII code letters H through Z. Maybe that can be improved. And the question is whether this should be formulated as strongly as it is, and also in the context of decision I. And maybe, Chris, you want to take this on where we are right now?
Yeah. So, yes, I will. So, you'll know that we've had, in the fast track, there have been some issues with applications that have been deemed to be confusingly similar with existing ASCII two-letter codes. And there are three specific ones. One is the Greek application for Epsilon Lambda, which the panel found was confusingly similar with a number of different two-letter codes, EA being perhaps the main one. There is the Bulgarian application, which on the face of it looks very similar to BR, which is, of course, Brazil. And there is also the European Union. There was a European Union application for two names, two strings, one being Epsilon in Greek, and the other one being... hi, who's that?
Hello, this is Vangelis. Sorry,
hi, Vangelis,
I was
how
a little
you?
Delayed. Fine,
no,
how are
don't
you?
Worry, you're fine. You've joined at the perfect time because we're just discussing... Bart was taking us through the summary policy document, which, if you're in the Adobe room, should be up on the screen for you.
Thank you.
And we're talking about decision I, which is the string confusion with other TLDs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just explaining that issues have arisen with the Greek application, the Bulgarian application, and the European Union applications. And in the case of the European Union applications, one was for an EU equivalent in Greek, and the other was for an EU equivalent in Cyrillic. So what's been happening in the background is that Bart and I, together with Patrick and Vangelis and Lyman and latterly Steve Crocker, have been trying to figure out a way through all of this. And in very simple terms, there's a sort of general acceptance that the finding of the variant or the confusingly similar panel in respect to the Bulgarian application is probably correct, in the sense that to most people it does seem to be confusing, but there is some question over whether the finding in respect to the Greek application for Epsilon and Lambda is in fact confusing or not. And there are also some issues that have arisen in respect to the European Union applications. We put to the CCNSO in... where were we, Bart?
Dakar.
Dakar, thank you. In Dakar, a guideline to instruct the confusingly similar panel that where a name is confusingly similar with itself, it shouldn't be a problem. So in the case of, for example, the European Union application for an EU equivalent in Cyrillic, it was clear that that was confusingly similar with EU in ASCII. And we said that we thought that that was fine, and there doesn't seem to have been a problem with that. But that hasn't solved the larger problem, and the larger problem is that the panel is taking an extremely conservative approach to confusing similarity, and that is driven by the guidelines that they were given by Tina in the blog that she issued to deal with confusing similarity. And we're trying to solve that problem, and we've worked very hard to try and solve that problem, and have come to the conclusion that rather than messing about trying to solve the problem in the fast track, the easiest way to try and deal with it is to just move forwards with the full-blown IDN policy, which we're hoping we can get approved relatively quickly, and to include in that policy a definition of confusing similarity that comes from the document that Dennis Jennings, VIP, what does that stand for? The
Variant Issues Project.
Thank you very much. Issues Project have come up with in respect to confusingly similar, and that is in this document. Bart's inserted that in Decision I, and it says, in this context, visibly confusable refers to two different strings of Unicode characters whose appearance in common fonts in small sizes at typical screen resolutions is sufficiently close that people easily mistake one for the other. Now, this is this would be a change to the current methodology that the panel is using. The current methodology that the panel is using is to start from the principle that everything is confusing, and then ask the question as to whether the current application sufficiently deals with the principle that everything is confusing in order to make it not confusing. And it doesn't provide any guidelines really at all to tell the panel how sensible or how much common sense they should use in making that decision. And we think that the definition used by the VIP, the Variant Issues Project, is actually quite helpful because it narrows the area of confusion to being common fonts. So if it's confusingly similar in a font that is used by a small group of people in the outer regions of Sweden, then that is not a common font. But if it's Helvetica or Calibri or etc., that is a common font. In small sizes, because when you go to uppercase, the characters can tend to look completely different from the way that they look in lowercase. And of course, generally speaking, domain names are written in lowercase. And at typical screen resolutions, because again, if you use very large screen resolutions, you're going to end up with the same problem. Is sufficiently close that people easily mistake one for the other. So in a nutshell, what we are proposing is to proceed with the IDN PDP. Did someone just join the call?
That should be Minion Park.
Sorry?
Minion Park.
Okay.
And Manal is on our way too.
Okay, no problem. So what I was saying was, we think that we can proceed with making some changes to the current documentation for the full-blown IDN PDP. We can insert this definition of visibly confusable. We can put in a placeholder to allow for the fact that the Variant Issues Project is still ongoing, and therefore the final understanding of what we do about variants isn't ready yet, and it may well be some time before it is. But we could hopefully find ourselves in a position where in Costa Rica or fairly soon afterwards, this working group puts forward its recommendations for the full IDN policy, which would then be adopted by the CCNSO and would effectively mean that the fast track is at an end and that all new applications or existing applications are dealt with under the terms of the new full-blown policy. I hope that makes sense. I'm conscious that it's a fair bit to take in. I'm happy to discuss the details with anybody who wants to ask questions. Somebody else just joined the call. Is that you, Manal?
It should be Manal.
Yes.
Well, Is that you, Manal?
Yes. I'm on the call now.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. So I'm not going to go back and just explain what I just explained in the last 10 minutes, so my apologies for that.
Chris.
Bart, over to you, or back to you, rather.
It's what I'll do is I'll summarize the two criteria, because in the next sentence, and send it to the email group or to the working group, say this is the way what we discussed and what we propose.
Well, okay, so let's be clear where we are. I think that's fine. So we have this call right now, and on this call, we don't have any CC representation. We've got Manal from the GAC. We've got Avery from the, I guess, Avery, I'm not sure what hat you're wearing, G's or ALAC, one or the other. We've got Cheryl. GNSO, we've got Cheryl wearing her ALAC liaison hat. We've got Yarp as a sort of independent observer from the technical community. And we've got me and Bart and Christina. So
we have Minyoung too.
Oh, sorry, Minyoung as well. I apologize. So what we do not have is a quorum, or for that matter, enough CC representation to actually do anything, but if you can put an email together,
yep,
explaining our intentions in respect to pushing this PVP forwards to finalisation, with the addition of the visibly confused. Oh, I'm sorry, Vagelis is on the call too.
Vagelis, yes.
I humbly apologise. With the addition of this visibly confusable definition, do we have a scheduled session on this for Costa Rica?
Yes, we do.
When is that?
So this is with regard to the overall criteria.
And when is that?
This is on Tuesday afternoon, late in the afternoon.
Right. Well, I'm fairly sure that I'll be able to do that. So
yeah. Otherwise,
that's good.
We'll see what happens. But this is one of the discussion points for the list. So I'll make a separate email for this one. Let me take you through. Say there are no further changes in this document. The only question I had for myself. So this is decision G, is just a change of position. With regard to the technical criteria, but I'll do that in a separate email as well. Christina,
okay.
Could you change the documents, please?
Yes.
So we're now in the other document, Chris, the overall process for the selection.
Okay.
Little change with one exception, or two exceptions, actually. It has to do with,
okay,
there we are, required endorsement support for selected string. What I propose is, some of you may be aware of it, there is a CCNSO framework of interpretation working group, and it came up with a definition of significantly interested parties. This includes government and other parties, and it is an interpretation of RFC 5091 and the GAC principles, and that will be proposed for the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. As some of you will recall, the whole IDM fast track and the overall policy is more or less based upon the, say, delegation, redelegation processes for CCTLD. And so what I suggest, and this is the first change, is start to include language from the framework of interpretation, because it provides clarity which was unclear under the, the fast track itself. What is the role of the significantly interested parties? What type of documentation, etc. So that's one change. Any questions on this one?
Well, I have a question, Bart, which is that I accept what you're saying, but until such time as the recommendations of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group are adopted, are we not jumping the gun slightly to put those in? I mean, it's clear, isn't it, that the IDN... Well, sorry, it's likely, isn't it, that the IDN PDP will be adopted prior to this, to that?
Hopefully, yes. Yeah.
So wouldn't we be better to say that the policy should be enhanced by any decisions made in respect to the Framework of Interpretation, rather than actually being specific about it?
That's an alternative as well. But
I'm just slightly concerned that we don't jump the gun and start inserting in one policy, specifically in respect to IDNs, a series of requirements in respect to delegation which haven't yet been adopted in respect to delegations in ASCII.
Change that. It's very easily changed because this was just, say, I've inserted it so everybody is aware this is happening, and this was, as you may recall, one of the as part of the fast track review, this was one of the concerns that it was unclear what the role is of the local internet community, how it should be defined, etc.
Well, yeah, bluntly, the concern was that there were applications for IDNs under the fast track from government-sponsored registries that had no evidence at all of any local internet community buy-in or significantly interested party buy-in, and the board was concerned that wasn't provided on the one hand, but on the other hand acknowledged that in the particular jurisdictions that the fast track applications were made in, for many of those the concept of even going out to the public or going out to the local internet community for endorsement was just, you know, something that they didn't even feature in their way of looking at these things. The best example I can give you is the United Arab Emirates, where the response was, well, but the prince says that this is what we should have, and therefore this is what we should have, and that's how we work, which is a perfectly valid response. It might not necessarily fit with everyone's model, but it certainly fits with their model.
That's why the concern
arose, wasn't it?
Yeah, I accept this, but it also was made clear, by some of the applicants themselves, that, the process itself wasn't clearly defined and criteria.
No, I agree with that, and that's true. Manal raised that point on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true. My concern is simply that we don't, as I said, I don't want us to be jumping the gun here.
Yeah.
I'll
amend it, but this was just, to raise awareness of this is happening.
No, I think that's absolutely fine.
To say there is already this note. Yeah?
Okay.
If you look carefully, and this is what I'll do over the next couple of days, I will start inserting language from the fast track process as well and update it, and we'll send it to the group. Now, the second main issue is deals with, decision point 10 in this document, review for potential string confusion of there are two main issues here. One is how this should relate to the confusingly similarity process for the new GTLDs, if there should be a relation. That's one question I have, say, from maintaining this document. And the second one, and this became clear as well from the reviews and from the discussions Chris referred to, is whether there is a need to include the possibility to seek clarification or petition against a finding of the DNS stability panel. Under the FASEC process, it is not possible. And I say some people, and especially, for instance, Vagelis and others with some experience of the fast track process, consider this a lack in the process itself.
As opposed to an ALAC.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Ha ha. Okay. But there are 2 points there. The first one is in respect to, and you've got it here in this document, decision 10, how should the review of potential string confusion, how should this relate to confusing similarity in the new GTLD process?
Yeah.
The current situation, as I understand it, is that we could, if we're not careful, end up with a different panel dealing with the same issue in the GTLD process to our panel in the CCTLD process, which frankly is a recipe for disaster, because you could end up with a situation where a panel in the CCTLD process finds that something is confusingly similar, but the different panel in the GTLD process finds that it is not, and that's ludicrous. And I have had a conversation with Elise Garrick, who agrees with me that that is ludicrous, and it is on the agenda for discussion with the new GTLD team in Costa Rica to ensure that effectively, try to ensure that the same group of people, the same panel, is dealing with the same topics or the same decisions, whether it be an application for a new GTLD or an application for an IDN CCTLD, because otherwise it becomes a nonsense. So we need to flag that, but it's not an issue for our policy document, but it's a logistic issue that we need to sort out.
Yes, and similar, say, adding to this is whether they have to deal with the same criteria. Currently they do, but if we start changing it based on the experience, you could have the same panel, but dealing with two criteria will create a mess as well.
Well, I agree, but I think the variant issues project basically trumps everything. I mean, if the variant issues project says this is how you should look at confusing similarity and there's general acceptance of that, then that seems to me to trump pretty much everything else. Because they need to look at that anyway.
So we have to work through that.
Yes, but if I may say something,
yes,
here, actually the VIP group has not come to a definite conclusion how it should deal with the visual similarity issues, especially in Greek and Latin and Cyrillic.
Well, they do have a definition, though.
I think so.
They do have a proposed definition, which is what we're proposing to include in our documentation, which is the thing about commonly used fonts in standard resolution.
I think that's a very good resolution.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me. It makes sense to those that I've spoken to about it, and I think it would be, whether it solves the Greek problem or not is a different issue. It may or it may not, but the point is that just from a sort of overarching viewpoint, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore it's something I think we should adopt. The alternative for Gellis is to is to wait again and not finalise the IDM-PDP and wait for more information from the VIP, from the Variant Issues Project. But frankly, we really do need to tie the fast track up as quickly as we can and get on with full-blown policy, because that's safer and much easier to deal with. But in respect to the appeals mechanism, do you think we could
yes,
get away with
calling? I have to wait.
Okay.
It's always my daughter. She always calls it. Yeah.
Of course it is.
That's fine.
Just like being at Bart, it's like being actually at Bart's house as we speak.
She hung up.
Good. Excellent news. On the appeals mechanism, do you think it's feasible for us to say in the policy that we are considering? That we are considering the possibility of a review mechanism for decisions of the confusing similarity panel, and that can be dealt with in a separate document and a separate policy. Because otherwise, it's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 months before we get that sorted out. In my view.
Yeah. Of course you can say, but what you gain by it is that you can leave it as a matter of implementation as well, that you say as a high-level principle that you it needs for that it is advised to include it.
Yes, the problem is if we leave it to implementation, we're going to end up in the same... we could end up in the same mess we're in now because we don't have any control over implementation.
Yeah, that's the reason for it. That's always a trade-off. That's why I haven't pushed the decisions or sub-processes, but it's somewhere between implementation and policies.
Well, what about if we said, what about if we sign off on the IDN policy and say in the policy that the CCNSO believes that there should be a review mechanism to allow applicants to have decisions of the confusing similarity panel reviewed, and the policy and that the IDN PDP working group should remain constituted to work closely with staff on the implementation of that policy. Did that either go?
Yeah.
Write it up, but yeah.
Yes,
again, probably this.
Hang on, Bagelis.
If I can say something, I think that last paragraph in Decision 10, the under the fast track process, blah, blah, blah paragraph, is it's necessary, of course, but it should say something, because as it is in there, it says that there were some problems, and that's all. We should say something like, there were some problems, and we are proposing this thing to happen as a solution. And
yes, but I agree with you, Vagelis. We should. The question is how much detail we need to go into. If we try to write the review panel into this particular policy,
mm-hmm.
my guess is that will take us at least 3 months.
Okay, so if we want to move the document forward, then we should take it outside, like
so
you said.
If we write, there should be a review mechanism,
mm-hmm.
and the working group should continue to exist in order to in order to work with staff to come up with an implementation plan for such a review mechanism, which would be subject to the approval of the CCNSO, then I think we can sign off on the policy more quickly and have the review mechanism in place as soon as it's ready, rather than delaying signing off on the policy.
Yep.
Does that's kind of the way forwards, I think. As long as we're not giving it to staff to do on their own, I think we still maintain enough control over it to ensure that we end up with something that we're comfortable with. Yeah?
Chris, Avery's got a hand up in the room, and
I apologise.
Of us.
Sorry, I was Avery,
I'm not in the room, so I apologise.
Oh, I just put it up. So, but thank you. This is Avery. I think the last part of the observer recommendation point of view, I think the last part of what you said, and the CCNSO gets to approve it, is critical to this. We've tried before in other environments. Yes, we'll leave the implementation open, and then work with the staff and hope that that all comes out right. And that's the path I advise against. So making it that it absolutely must be agreed by you all after that, it will possibly make it work. You know, we haven't tried. No one I know has tried that one yet. That's at least a possibility. And thanks.
Thanks, Avery. I think that's right. And I think the alternative is simply that we delay again. And I'm just not comfortable doing that. We need to push this forward so that it's set in stone rather than still operating on the fast track. But you and I can work on some words for the next few days to finalise that. Do you think?
I think that the main point is clear that there should be included some language about it. That's why I've included it for this discussion. And again, so I'll summarise this and send it to the email list.
Okay. Now, but if we're going to have a full-blown session with the CCNSO on Tuesday afternoon in Costa Rica, what do you think the chances are of having this working group meet beforehand? Is that feasible?
I can always try. It's more a question, Christina. Do you think we still have room to do it? Christina is scheduling the meeting.
Sorry, can you repeat? Do we still have room for what?
To meet before Tuesday as a working group, so an additional meeting.
I have to look into that. I can't answer that.
So, Christina, it would be fantastic if we could. It could be Sunday, or even Monday. I can provide, assuming that I have a suite. Which I think I probably do, but I'm not 100% certain, but assuming I do, I can provide the venue without us needing to book a room.
Yes, because that wouldn't be possible for me to at this point.
Well, why don't you assume for the moment? So can I ask you to do me a favour? Can you send a note to Diane? Copy me and copy Bart and say that Chris would like to have a meeting of the IDN PDP working group at some time on Sunday or Monday. He's unsure whether he actually has a suite booked or not. If he does, could you confirm that?
Yes, I can send her the note.
She can confirm that, and if she does confirm it, then there's not that many of us. I mean, as long as it's reasonably comfortable, we'll be able to have a meeting. It's not going to be a particularly long meeting. And then as soon as I've got my schedule, which will be in the next day or so, I'll be able to tell you when it can be done.
Okay. It would be probably be Sunday morning or Monday morning around 9. Which would you prefer?
I don't know yet, to be honest. Let me. Actually, you know what? Let me talk to Diane. I've got to speak to Diane tomorrow morning anyway, so let me do it all. I'll fix it, and I'll get back to you both.
Okay.
All right.
Just be easier that way.
So from 10 o'clock Sunday and Monday, we'll be very busy. So if you can be before that, that's great.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll fit it in where we need to fit it in. It's you know, I understand. We don't need support. We just need to get as many of the C's of the C's in the room as possible, so that we can push this forward. I don't want to be talking to this document in the CCNSO meeting on Tuesday without having some time with the working group beforehand.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you still want the working group meeting on Thursday, or do you want to replace it?
Well, that's on Thursday. That's at the end.
Sorry?
We can always cancel it. Just leave it as it is.
Okay.
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 So, Bart, you and I need to work on an email to go out to the working group in the next few days, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll be in Brussels on Thursday afternoon your time.
Oh, that's nice.
So I'm not sure that I'm not sure I'd go that far, but anyway.
The weather is out.
But from about 10 o'clock Thursday morning your time, I'll be in London and on the train. So we can talk then and get something sorted out, all right?
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
And what I'll do is I'll fill in the, say, because there are a lot of blanks over the next couple of days. I'll complete this document and send it out to the as a full document, and then summarize for the emails the points for discussion.
Well, yes, but it needs to, but sending it out as it is without an explanation is not going to be very helpful. So
yeah,
we need to do an email.
Yeah.
We need to do an email
yeah.
explaining it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I ask for a clarification in Word
ahead,
somewhere, Bart?
Yeah.
Is it possible? Bart, where you say decision one, string confusion with other TLDs, in this context, visually confusable refers to two different strings of Unicode characters whose appearance in common fonts in small sizes. This small sizes is like small characters, or is it size, like size?
I've taken this, we need to check with the variant issue project, and I think you were part of it.
Yeah.
So
what did they mean, Vagelis? It's their wording.
Sorry?
It's the variant issue project wording.
Oh, okay.
Did they mean, so if you could go back and get clarification, I would be quite comfortable
mm-hmm.
to say in lower case.
In lower case, okay.
But that's not what it currently says.
Yeah, it's size. Okay, I'll
try
to clarify.
So if you can go back and clarify that, but personally,
yeah.
I would be quite comfortable to say in lowercase.
Okay.
Because I think that solves a lot. I think that solves a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. I know. Thank you.
Okay. Are we done, Bart?
I'm done.
Well, congratulations.
So are you?
I think so.
Thank you all, see you online.
Okay.
Any other
see
questions
you.
Or comments? Cool. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Nice travel, Chris.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.